Joining me on Alt-105.3 is the legendary Pauly Shore, also known as The Wheeze. He's coming to Cobb's Comedy Club one night only, February 20th. Tickets available at cobbscomedyclub.com. What's up, dude?
Calling San Francisco to tell them that I'm coming up.
You are coming up. It's only a couple weeks away, and I'm excited because I'm actually going to go see your show, which is a big deal for me because I don't get up to the city very often, even though I work in the city. I live in the South Bay, so making a commute is just a salute to how fantastic I think you are.
Wow, thank you. Thank you. It's going to be fun. I've been doing stand-up for many years. I love stand-up. It's my true love. It's what I love to do all the time, so that's why I do it. I mean, I really, really enjoy it. So I'm excited to come back up there.
You know what's crazy is I didn't realize, I mean, I loved you from your days as a host at MTV, obviously the star of Son-in-Law, which I still quote to this day, Biodome and so many other great films that I loved as a child of the 90s, actually a child of the 80s too. But you do a weekly video podcast that I caught a few clips of called Random Rants. And dude, I feel like you haven't changed at all. You're still like the same funny, crazy guy.
I don't know.
Is it all just part of like your character? Is Pauly like off camera, totally mild and chill, and then when you're on camera, like the weasel takes over?
Kinda, yeah. You know, Random Rants is this thing that kind of developed. It wasn't just, you know, it was, it just started in my apartment, and now it's turned into something that I really enjoyed doing every week. It doesn't feel like work, you know, it feels like, you know, this is a chance for us all to get together and just be free and dance and you know, say whatever, you know, rant on anything that we want to rant on. I mean, the rants are so, depending on who's the guest on it, the rants kind of like go from, you know, place to place. Yeah.
Okay. So none of it's really like scripted out. You just kind of let it fly and see what happens.
Yeah. We just kind of like take subjects and we just kind of rant with them. Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes that makes for the best content. What I want to do is I want to fire through like five or six just rapid fire questions, and then we can kind of take off from there. Do you mind if I just rapid fire some questions for you?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. What is your guilty pleasure TV show?
I like to channel surf between all the three news networks, so they're all equal to me.
Really? So it's not like a cheesy reality show, it's the news networks.
Well, that is a reality show.
I guess you're right. Okay, good point.
I mean, it's just crazy. The Fox News, CNN, MSN, I like to go back and forth. It's just hilarious.
It's crazy.
I mean, he's really got us, this guy, you know? He's locked in, you know?
It's so true. Like, what is happening, man?
It's crazy.
Like, I think about 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, and I was like, wow, I wonder what the next 4 years is going to be like. It can't get much worse. And then it just keeps getting worse.
Yeah, he's quite a hoot.
Oh, it's insane. All right, my next question. Single favorite memory of your childhood growing up at the Comedy Store?
Probably washing off the cottage cheese out of Lenny Schultz's balls.
Oh, that's so gross. Did that really happen?
Lenny Schultz was this comedian that was my favorite comedian growing up. If you Google him, you'll see like what he was about. He used to do a thing called the Lenny Schultz diet, and he would take off all his clothes and be down into his Speedos. And basically, he would put, instead of putting food in the mouth of where you want to lose weight, he'd put food on the body parts. So he'd put cottage cheese in his balls.
That's so disgusting. And why did he make
you? Yeah, but as an 11-year-old kid, it was awesome.
Yeah, I guess 11-year-old boys think all that kind of gross stuff is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, if you could trade lives with any celebrity for 1 week, who would you trade lives with?
Trade lives with?
Yeah, trade lives with any celebrity for 1 week.
That's a good question. Maybe LeBron James.
Oh, you want to be a baller, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Wouldn't that be nice to be able to dunk a basketball?
That's what I'm saying. He's the man. He's great, great basketball player.
Okay, so are you a big LeBron fan in general, or did you just answer that because I asked you?
No, I love LeBron. I've always loved LeBron.
He does so much great like community work and charity work and building that school. I mean, I just think he's just, yeah, I'm with you on that one, dude. That's a good answer.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's, I've met him before. He's a really nice guy. And I mean, obviously I don't know him in private, but from what I see and my experience with him and watching him play basketball. I mean, the fact is he's going around to all these teams and he's winning championships for them. Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully the Lakers this year, especially after the Kobe thing, you know, will you know, bring home a ring and a trophy to L.A., you know, which is just wounded so badly from the Kobe Bryant, you know, death. It's just been really hard here, you know?
Yeah, you just gave me chills mentioning that. Like, the thought of L.A. winning the championship coming off of, you know, this tragedy.
Mm.
Wow. That would be insane. I mean,
yeah.
I just was on Instagram and I saw Kobe's wife posted that the memorial is on February 24th, 2020, obviously, and that's 224, his daughter's number.
Crazy.
And his number. And I read that and I was like, oh, I just sent chills up my spine.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be her. I just feel like giving her a big hug, you know? Like, God, man.
Yeah, it really puts in perspective. Like, I think about the shit that goes on in daily life, or the things that I get bummed out about, or the minor inconveniences. And then I think about the fact that not only her, but those families lost moms and kids and dads, and like, God,
Yeah. There's
so many more important things. I didn't mean to take this down a dark road, but
no, it's okay.
It's the reality
it's okay.
of it.
Well, this goes back to LeBron. He's got to bring a ring home. You know, Golden State's got 20 rings. We're allowed a couple rings now from LeBron.
We're having a rough year up here in the Bay Area with the, you know, Steph Curry out, obviously Klay Thompson out. So it's been rough, but hopefully next season we'll bring it back together. But I wouldn't be mad seeing the Lakers pull things together to honor Kobe in that way. So, all right, let's move on to...
I think the world is rooting for him, yeah.
Oh, definitely, definitely. It was one of those things where, like, not to get too deep again, but listen, people pass away. Every single one of us is going to pass away, whether it's tragic illness or sudden, whatever it's going to be. But there was something about this incident and it being Kobe Bryant that I feel like was so global, almost more global than anything I can think of in my lifetime, you know? And
it's just
chilling. It's, yeah, I'm still shocked over it, but.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, it's like, you know, here's a guy that's been touring, playing basketball for 20 years, you know, on the team and before that, you know, with high school and probably so many close kind of calls, you know, like with planes. And I mean, you know, I mean, I've been traveling my whole life. So it's like you get close calls here and there. And then the guy's just getting his life together. He's starting to really bond with his daughters, you know, and like that's what's so harsh about the whole thing, you know. And it's like, you know, it couldn't have come at a worse time. And so everyone's pretty bummed out about it. You know, it's
what a lot of people didn't realize before this incident was how much charity work he was involved in and how many businesses he was working on starting up. And I know it's easy for me to say this right now, but I firmly believe that the next 20 years of his life, the good that he was going to be doing with female athletes, with communities, with just being charitable in general, I feel like that legacy would have been just as strong as his basketball legacy 20 years from now. And it just sucks that it got cut short. But
we love you, Kobe.
We do.
Oh, yes, we do. Okay.
So. All right, let's not be sad anymore. Let's move on to my next question. You're inviting three other comedians to have dinner with you. Who are they?
Wow. I'd have to say they're all dead. So I'd have to say George Carlin, Rodney Dangerfield, Sam Kennison, Richard Pryor. There's four.
There's four. Okay, we'll make that. We'll bring that extra chair to the table for the four.
Yeah.
All right.
Great, great, great comics.
Yeah.
You know, great, great comics. And so many. I mean, Rodney Dangerfield was so funny, you know?
You spent a lot of time with him when you were younger, yeah?
Yeah. Also, Don Rickles was amazingly funny.
Do you have any crazy stories about the time you spent with Rodney?
Well, I mean, what did I say? I don't know. I mean, I remember spring break, you know, when we did Chillin' with the Weeze.
Uh-huh.
And we were rehearsing with him, and we walked into his hotel room to practice, you know, to kind of like go over. And we walk in, and this was like early 90s. We walk in, and he's in his robe. He's got no underwear on. His balls are hanging out. And he's like, hey, who wants to smoke some pot here? Come on, let's get some pot. Let's smoke some pot around here. And we're like, oh, my God, this is awesome, you know?
You know, it's, I swear to God, I was going to ask you if you had a story about Rodney Dangerfield's balls, since your last story was about
cleaning someone's balls. Everyone's got a Rodney Dangerfield's balls story. The guy's like, you know.
Oh, that's funny.
He always walked around with his robe on in his, like, no underwear. So he wouldn't, like, expose himself. It would just, he'd be sitting there, and he wouldn't know because he was stoned that his balls were hanging out.
He's like the Hugh Hefner of comedy.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right.
But I'm excited to come back to San Francisco. I love San Francisco. I haven't been up there in many years for whatever reason. I remember playing the Warfield. Was it the Warfield Theater there?
Yeah.
Yeah, playing there years ago and always doing shows up there. I'm excited to go to House in Nanking, which is my favorite Chinese restaurant.
Oh, that's three blocks from where I'm at right now at the station. And did you know that they're filming The Matrix 4 right there as we speak? Like, at this moment, Keanu Reeves, I think, is out at the House of Nanking, like right out front filming. Yeah, the whole city's going nuts because for some reason we're all jaded to that stuff, especially being in California. Movie sets don't light people up. We don't really care. But the second Keanu comes to town, the Bay Area is like in a frenzy. And all the news outlets have been talking about where Keanu is. So, yeah, Keanu's up the street filming Matrix 4 right on the intersection at the House of Nanking. So,
well, maybe we can do a little small part in there, bro.
I've been asking my listeners, like, hey, anybody have an in to get me on as an extra on that? But no one's come through yet. But maybe you're my in. Can you get me in an extra? You have connections with
Let's do it.
You and I can both be extras, and I think it would really make The Matrix 4.
I think so.
All right. Let's just do one last question. What is one thing that fans say to you that really just annoys the hell out of you?
Nothing.
Really?
No.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. I'll be honest. Like, when we started chatting, I was like, I didn't know if you still, like, to this day had the persona of the Wheeze, and I'm glad that you are still true to yourself. And so I was like, if I call him the Wheeze, is he going to get annoyed? But no, it's still you, man. Like, you're still authentically you, and I love it.
Well, the way I look at it is, you know, in the entertainment business, people get in the business to be known. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the second they're known, they get mad that they're known. Like, well, why did you get in the business to begin with, you moron? So it's like, I would be more annoyed if people didn't come up to me and say anything and I was in the business.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I was reading about you because, of course, I cyberstalked the hell out of you before this. I didn't realize that you actually got started in comedy without really the help of your mom. You know, you had left the house after whatever type of argument and then pursued your comedy career just by yourself. And I'm pretty impressed with that type of commitment and, you know, the success that you've had. I think it's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, because, you know, and I'm happy I did that because even to this day, the fans and the people that do come see me, they don't come see me because of the Comedy Store. Most people don't even know about the Comedy Store, people in the middle of the country. They just want to laugh with Pauly Shore. And, you know, and that was my focus, was to just be funny as me, you know what I mean? And you know, I'm very fortunate, obviously. I grew up around comedy and I've seen it. But, you know, you can't, in life, you can't rely on, you know, your parents or people hooking you up and all that crap. You have to put in the work, you know, and constantly, I'm constantly doing that to this day, you know. But it's just one of those things that I really love. I love making people happy. And I love, you know, when I make people happy, I become happy, you know. So it's like this kind of give and take, yeah. So.
Well, to hear you say that, I think really speaks volumes because a lot of people in the entertainment business get into it for, you know, what they want to fuel themselves. And it's all, you know, a lot of times it's selfish. And I'm not knocking that. Everyone has their reasons. But I think there's a rare breed of people that you are among that truly get joy from bringing others joy. And it's not just about what they do from themselves. And so the fact that you're still touring and you're still successful and you're still working your butt off, that speaks to your character and the type of human you are. And I wish you nothing but continued success. And I can't wait to see you here at Cobb's Comedy Club, February 20th, right here in San Francisco, man. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks for having me and have an awesome day.
Yeah, you too, man. See you February 20th. Have a good one.